Welcome to WISO Weekend, WISO's weekly radio magazine. I'm Jerry Kenny. On today's program, musician Rob Fetters. We'll hear an excerpt and music from his visit to the WISO studios this past week, where he spoke with our very own Nikki Dakota. Community Voices producer Renee Wild reports on a small insect that's making big changes in one local park system. And later in the program, this week's reinvention stories. Up first, some state news. The unemployment rate in Ohio dipped to 6.1% in March, the lowest it's been since 2008. It's down almost 0.5% from February and well below the national rate as well. But those percentages can be deceiving. March was also a slow month for job growth. WISO's news director, Emily McCord, hashed out some details with economics reporter Lewis Wallace.
So that 6.1% unemployment rate is lower than it's been in more than 5 years in terms of the unemployment rate. At the same time, though, we're still seeing people leave the workforce, which affects that number quite a bit. And those workforce numbers, the total number of people who are either working or looking for work, really has not come close to returning to where it was in 2008.
So even though we've seen this big downtick in the unemployment rate, there's still a lot of people looking for work.
The rates can be deceiving.
What about job growth?
So it's important first to clarify that job growth in this monthly jobs report comes from a different measure. It comes from a survey of businesses, of employers, as opposed to a survey of employees. And these numbers are revised a lot retroactively. So all of that said, job growth was really quite low last month, just 600 jobs added over the month from February to March. And the biggest losses that we saw were in the public sector. More than 3,000 public sector government jobs went away over just that month. Policy Matters Ohio is a group that's been speaking out a lot about that issue specifically. They put out a monthly report in response to the state jobs report. They've called job growth lackluster and slow and a lot of different words like that over the last couple of years in Ohio. And in particular, Policy Matters really wants state government to think about reinvesting in the public sector. This is Hannah Halbert with Policy Matters.
The truly unfortunate thing about that is that not only is this, you know, people losing jobs, that there's increases in employment, loss of that spending in the local communities, but oftentimes these jobs represent local services that people in communities depend on or use or see the benefit from in their neighborhood.
That's Hannah Halbert with Policy Matters Ohio. That's a left-leaning think tank. Shows one of the ways that these jobs numbers can become very political.
Have you been hearing that people are defending the jobs numbers and saying that this is really great news?
I don't think it was a really excellent looking month for Governor Kasich in terms of this jobs report, so it wasn't one of the things that he touted over the last week.
What about differences regionally here?
There are always these extreme kind of differences just within our region in terms of where the unemployment rates are and where the job growth is. So in the city of Dayton proper, unemployment is still 7.4%. It's more than a percentage point above the state. And the labor force has also been steadily been getting smaller and smaller since 2009. People are still leaving the workforce as far as long-term trends in Dayton. Whereas if you look at Beaver Creek, the unemployment rate is 4.6%. The labor force has pretty much held steady during that same time.
Any notable new jobs coming to the area?
There were no like awesome bombshell job announcements within the last month. Dollar General's opening a bunch of new locations. The Good Sports Fieldhouse in Huber Heights has started hiring. They're planning to hire more than 100 people over there. H&M is planning a second location at the Dayton Mall. And, you know, at the same time, of course, economic development folks in a lot of cities, towns, counties around here are looking for those big pieces of news, those 100 or 500 job announcements and higher paying jobs like the manufacturing and high tech jobs. And we haven't seen too much of that action just in the last month.
That's WISO's Lewis Wallace talking with Emily McCord about this month's Ohio Jobs Report. You can see more of Lewis's reporting about jobs in the Miami Valley at WISO.org. As the Obama administration gives a final review to its proposal for new carbon pollution standards, the EPA is working on its ground game to build public support. That included a stopover in Cleveland this week by the head of the EPA, and Glaucer from member station WCPN reports.
The landmark regulations, to be publicly unveiled in June, are central to President Obama's climate change agenda. They will tighten carbon limits for existing power plants and outline requirements that states must implement to limit greenhouse gases. Speaking at a Cleveland Clinic gathering, Gina McCarthy, the administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, spoke of the urgency for action and made a connection between natural disasters, carbon emissions, and climate change.
We spent in 2012 in the U.S. government $120 billion on disaster response. That's from floods, that's from droughts, that's from Hurricane Sandy. These are challenges that impact directly people's lives, their well-being, as well as regional economies. And so these are significant. But we also have climate change basically exacerbating issues like ozone because it raises temperature, which is part of a factor that contributes to the formation of ozone.
McCarthy says the new carbon limits will reduce air pollution overall and help bring down the number of illnesses associated with it. It's unclear exactly how aggressive the administration's standards would be. Final regulations are scheduled for next year after public comment. For Ohio Public Radio, I'm Ann Glosser in Cleveland.
Ohio's Inspector General has released the report of the investigation of the controversy known as CoinGate. The report comes a decade after the scandalous investment was discovered, and as Ohio Public Radio's Joe Ingles reports, the report itself is raising new questions.
The Inspector General finds no new wrongdoing in this report on the scandal that involved a $50 million investment with Tom Noe, a Republican operative who invested money from the Bureau of Workers' Compensation into things like Beanie Babies and collectible coins. Noe is currently serving an 18-year prison sentence for stealing nearly $5 million from the BWC fund. The pay-to-play culture that was discovered in the months after the scandal broke uncovered influence peddling by investment chiefs at the BWC. Lobbyists and aides were discovered to have accepted tickets to sporting events, condo stays, cash, and other perks. Eventually, the scandal hit the state's top Republican, then Governor Bob Taft, who ended up pleading no contest to 4 ethics violations. Meyer's report concentrated on Noe, but he also concluded the state has changed the way it handles investments since that time to safeguard against bad ones. And Meyer recommends the state continue to follow those new laws and policies. But the head of Ohio's Democratic Party, Chris Redfern, says the IG didn't do his job.
Randy Meyer's investigation wasn't to investigate the crimes in Lucas County. It was to investigate how Tom Noe came to get millions of dollars in state government and the control of it and what he did with it. We'll never know the truth now because Tom Charles and now Randy Meyer, a good Republican appointed by Republican Governor George Voinovich, Bob Taft, and then John Kasich, has chosen to look the other way. It's the fact of the matter that this Inspector General has spent more time investigating and bringing disciplinary charges against park rangers for using out-of-state licenses improperly than he has investigating millions of dollars stolen that belong to the taxpayers.
Randy Meyer, through his spokesman, declined comment on the report. The Ohio Republican Party's Chris Schrimpf also declined comment. But a spokeswoman for a group that watches state government isn't holding back. Catherine Terser with Common Cause Ohio says she cannot understand why this report is coming a full decade after the crimes were discovered.
There's nothing in here that would suggest that they needed years and years to get this together. And in fact, one of my favorite things in the report was how they explain that some of the individuals were not only prosecuted, found guilty, convicted, but that they had, in fact, their records had been expunged by the time this report was released.
Terser's group wanted to find out everyone who was involved with the scandal from the beginning. But she says this report didn't even try to answer those questions.
It is fairly typical when government entities release these kind of investigations to provide transcripts of interviews. And this is not something that was included. And so what we're getting is, you know, the kind of summary that we could have gotten from, you know, newspaper reports and looking at some court records. We're not getting that peek behind the curtain to what happened during the investigation.
Turser says she's not sure what her group will do in response to this report. But Redfern says many of the records that couldn't be accessed before because they were part of the investigation should be available for inspection now. And issues that haven't been answered in this report can be raised during the coming months. The real question is whether Ohioans still have an interest in CoinGate one decade later. Joe Ingles at the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau.
I'm Jerry Kenney. This is WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. Thanks for joining us this Sunday morning. In southwestern Ohio, a small insect is causing big changes in a local park system. The Greene County Parks and Trails, which includes 62 miles of bike paths, will be a little less shady this summer. Community Voices producer Renee Wild knows this area well and has our story.
It's smaller than your thumbnail, but the destruction it can cause is huge. The shiny green insect, called the emerald ash borer, is a beetle native to Asia and Russia. It has been traveling from state to state, catching rides on firewood, and settling in to eat away at the ash trees. The Greene County Parks and Trails Department is currently cutting down 3,000 ash trees which have been killed by this insect. That's going to dramatically change this part of Ohio. And no one knows this better than the two naturalists that work there.
My name's Chris Barnett, and I'm the chief naturalist for Greene County Parks and Trails.
My name's Mel Grosvenor. I'm one of the naturalist staff with Greene County Parks and Trails. Basically, for the past 4 years, I've been doing a survey of the parks, looking at the ash trees, and particularly if they're going to hit a structure or a roadway or be a hazard. One person would drive while I would look out the window, and spending hours doing that, it just ingrained the image of the tops of trees in my head to the point where as soon as I closed my eyes to go to sleep, all I could see was a slow motion image of trees. A lot of the trees were very heavily laden with seeds this past fall, as in they knew something was going to happen and it was their last-ditch effort to try to carry on. And some of them, even branches were breaking because of the weight of the seeds.
Right now, all we're doing is taking the trees that are dead. Because once an ash tree shows that it's been infected, you have less than a year before the tree actually starts to drop. It is a very quick death in the tree.
Visually, it's going to be very sad. It's definitely going to affect how much shade we have. It's going to affect the wildlife, and it's going to create areas for other generally invasive species of plants to come in.
We're going to be dealing with honeysuckle, autumn olive, garlic mustard. They take away habitat from wildlife, and they're going to be given this clean slate to grow.
It's going to dramatically change the habitats.
Things like salamanders, box turtles, animals that people don't stop to consider that they live in leaf litter. They live underneath tree roots.
The candy cane tree is a tree that I've come to love at our parks. It is a big blue ash tree that was struck by lightning, and the lightning curved around and basically peeled the bark away in a spiral pattern similar to the striping on a candy cane. It's kind of a celebrity in our parks in a way. I had just spent a day hiking. On my way back from doing that, I glanced across the ravine and saw the candy cane tree, and it hit me. Oh my gosh, that is an ash tree. And it just devastated me.
And it's probably going to get affected. So it's going to be a sad day here in the park when that guy goes down. Red-headed woodpeckers have a solid red head, white belly, and a solid black back. They have been on the watch list in Ohio for probably the last 10 years.
And the numbers lately have actually been going up. And the theory is that it may be because of the emerald ash borer that they're going after those larvae.
If the ash trees are out in the woods where they're not going to damage anything or hurt anybody, we're going to leave them alone. And let the red-headed woodpeckers, let the red bellies and the downies, let them have them. And their populations are going to increase, which is a very much a positive.
Another positive. The Parks Department has a plan to restore wildlife habitat to the county. 1,500 saplings of native tree species, like sycamores, oaks, and maples, have been ordered for reforestation. That's a lot of baby trees. Chris and Mel are looking for help nurturing the saplings until they are ready to plant. You can contact them at the Greene County Parks and Trails at their website, www.gcparkstrails.com. For WYSO's Community Voices, I'm Renee Wild.
Hopefully we can heal from this and keep our forests for future generations.
Look for more Community Voices stories on our website at wyso.org. In today's Reinvention Stories, we return to Troutwood to meet Philip Payne. He had a successful career with Appleton Paper Company until he and most of his fellow workers were laid off 2 years ago. Now he's back in school, training for a new career and pursuing a passion for making art. WISO's Juliet Fromholt has his story.
Philippe Payne's art studio is in his garage. He lives on the border of Clayton and Troutwood with his wife Sonia and their children. Like many people in Troutwood, Philippe is trying to figure out what's next for his family after losing a steady manufacturing income. He says that art gives him a chance to show his children that even though you're out of work, you can still make a contribution.
You know, I'm doing something with my two hands on the creative side, and people are interested in what I have to offer. Now, it's not on a mass production scale of factory, but it is something that I can still deliver and feel reward because somebody was interested enough to purchase or, you know, even just revel and look at what I designed or created.
Philippe makes glass mosaics. They're large, about 4 feet tall, and are made of shards of old mirrors and other recycled materials mounted on dark, reflective glass. There are lots of curves and movement. Many images feature women and nature. In one piece, a woman in a red dress has her arms raised under a sky of dark clouds. It's called Wind Dancer.
Somebody finally feeling released and just letting the wind take them away and just really embracing life, but having no fear of anything because there's a vortex atop of that, which could basically suggest trouble or getting through trouble or you're in the midst of trouble.
Art has given Philippe a creative outlet, but it's also taught him about business. Things like contracts, insurance, and even the proper way to transport your work, which he learned the hard way when preparing for his first art show.
I gathered everything up, and we had a Dodge minivan at that time. And I went down there, and I had no idea I needed more bubble wrap. So I had a few pieces break on me on my way down to Sharonville from Dayton.
But the pieces that survived were met with positive reviews. And since then, Philippe's work has appeared in downtown Dayton as part of the Activated Spaces program and at several newer businesses like Delish and Butte Box. Philippe's part of a growing community of artists and entrepreneurs in the Miami Valley. He feels like something important is happening.
It's almost like a Harlem Renaissance in a way. We're getting more of a cultural, artistic boom that's going on, and I definitely want to be a part of that because I enjoy the artistic side of things, and this is where I think people need to be and need to be aware of because they're going to do good things here in the area.
Becoming an artist has been fulfilling. Philippe sold some of his work, but it's not paying the bills. Because he has a family to support, Philippe's enrolled in Sinclair Community College's aviation program. He wants to find the same kind of satisfaction in his job as he does with art.
What I was doing before was what I must do as a male individual father and husband, and that was work. Now I have a chance to go into a path of a career and enjoy what I do.
Aviation appeals to Philippe because it's like art. There's room for innovation and creative thinking. If all goes according to plan, he'll graduate from Sinclair next year. Then he'll have to find a job, and that could take him away from the Miami Valley.
I know that in aviation, it can take you all over the world, and opportunity can be anywhere, and I don't want to cheat myself out of that as long as my family's ready for that.
Philippe's in the early part of his Sinclair education. He's taking basic courses right now, but soon he'll be making decisions about courses that will influence his future job options. When he graduates,
He'll be one of over 4,000 job seekers in Ohio. But Philippe remains upbeat about his future.
Yeah, we're going to eat some bologna and beans for a while, but in time, it'll all be behind us.
For WYSO, I'm Juliet Frumholt.
You can see Philip's artwork in a short film produced by Chandra Jones on our website, wyso.org. Major funding for the second season of Reinvention Stories comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, with support from Wright State University Celia Fund, the Yellow Springs Community Foundation, and Antioch College.
100 billion ways to live, but nothing works till we forgive.
Musician Rob Fetters has a new album out, and this past week he stopped by the WYSO studios to talk with music director Nikki Dakota.
It's so simple, it's the truth. What you do.
Words to live by.
I hope so.
It's really true, too. Rob Fetters, live on Excursions on 91.3. The new record is Saint Ain't. That one's on there, and a bunch more. It's interesting because there's sort of a nice swath of topics that are on there, but your presence is so strong in all of these songs. I feel every time that you're telling me that. This is a message personally from Rob to me. Don't forget what you do happens to you. Don't forget. And I appreciate that. And just before we went on, we were talking about, since we have these young, fabulous students from the Dayton Regional STEM School, mm-hmm. that they could ask, you know, if there was any advice or something that you could offer them. And just in on your own, you offered up a little piece that I think we should share.
That's so heavy.
Isn't it?
Well, because of my advancing years, every now and then I get asked to talk at colleges and stuff. I do little workshops here and there. And I have to say, I've gotten a few breaks along the way. The fact that I've been able to on my tax return every year to say I'm a musician or a composer or anything is just, I'm so grateful for that. Things I've learned along the way, I've got to sit next to weird people. It's like, you know, I sat next to Faye Dunaway once.
Sweet.
Sitting there with Faye Dunaway. And we were both listening to a woman talk. She was complaining about some, you know, bad thing, bad luck that had happened to her, to call it luck. And Faye leaned over to me and said, and it's not like we're on a first-name basis or anything, but she just, you know, I was the closest person, and she just kind of, out of the corner of her mouth, just said, you know, you make your own luck. You know, you make your own luck, and it's just burned into my brain. You know, don't blame other people. You know, the world's set up in a really cool way, and it can go this way or that way, but the way you operate in it is really up to you. And the more I look at my own life, I see, you know, I see a lot of miracles there. It looks like it's miraculous, but I also realize, oh, well, I had to do this to do that, and so
chance comes to the prepared mind, right?
Yeah, you've got to be be ready and stuff like that. But another thing, I mean, one thing I tell kids, like I do this thing at this art school, the Art Academy in Cincinnati, and every year I tell them. One of my biggest breaks, I believe, came from writing a handwritten thank you note to somebody. Somebody used the song I wrote called Fear Is Never Boring in a commercial. You know, just background music in this commercial. And it's a funny story because when I thought I was going to get a big royalty check because I wrote it, I played on it, I sang it, and I called the manager, who's a good friend of mine, he said, don't you remember you owe me thousands of dollars? And I had conveniently forgotten.
Oh,
and it was his finally his chance to get paid back. So he got the money. But nonetheless, I sent a thank you note to the producer at the network in California and just said, thanks. You know, my friends think it's cool. They love the song. And it was fun to, you know, I didn't think it'd ever happen again. And 2 days later, I got a phone call from him. And he just said, oh yeah, I'm from Cincinnati. I saw the Raisins open for Aww. Billy Idol. And then we left before Billy Idol played because you guys were great. And, you know, stuff in, And we talked, and he asked what I was doing. And I said, well, you know, I'm still playing in bands and making records, of course, but I'm, you know, I'm also on the side of music whore. And he said, oh, well, we need custom music all the time. Do you do custom music? And I said, well, that's what being a music whore does.
Yeah.
And it just led to, you know,
was that the connection to ABC there?
Yeah. And so, I mean, just to bring this around, if you've been listening to this whole show, that was Andy Haskins. Andy and I have become fast friends over the years since then. His daughter is B, who sang on Famous Last Words. I mean, just all this stuff happens, and it just happened because I remembered, like, what Mom says. Write a thank you note to your grandma, you know, or whatever. And I tell these art students, you know, we're just in such a fast world of emails. It's so easy to write an email and or do a quick text and things like that. And that's cool. But to get something somebody holds in their hand, it's like vinyl or something, you know. There's something cooler and magical.
There's a tactileness in this. And the same thing we were talking about, you imbue meaning into things, you know, like in that studio, those people had been there. This other person touched that. Not only that, but steered a pen over it in a certain pattern.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Words to live by. Rob Fetters, thank you for being here. We have just so quickly let an hour slip by. I really, really appreciate your being here. Yeah.
Wow.
Wing, just gone. Please make it your business to find out more at robfetters.net. That's two T's in Fetters. Robfetters.net. The new album is Saint Eight. You can find it on CD Baby, at Bandcamp as well. And I hope that you do find your way to do that. Rob, thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Love you all. Have a great, beautiful spring day in Yellow Springs.
In Yellow Springs.
What you do happens to you. What you do happens to you. It's so simple, it's so true. What you do happens to you. So maybe you were having fun, but what you did really hurt someone. What you do happens to you. What you do happens to you. It's so simple, it's so true. What you do happens to you. You treated me so selfishly, and now the pain won't let me be. Na, na, na. Na, na, na. Na, 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 na. Na, na, happens to you. The Alpha and Omega. Your face is in the mirror. Could they make it any clearer? Nothing works till we forgive. What you do happens to you. What you do happens to you. It's so simple, it's the truth. What you do.
You can hear more of Nikki's interview with Rob Fetters on our website and see pictures at wyso.org. That's it for this week's edition of WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org, a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. I'm Jerry Kenny. Coming up next, Vic McCunis with The Book Nook.
This week on American Roots, eclectic keyboardist and composer, arranger and producer Van Dyke Parks, who worked with Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, Ry Cooder, Randy Newman, and many more. Then we stop by the home of New Orleans pianist Tom McDermott for a music lesson that spans two centuries and three continents. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Coming up this afternoon at 2, where else but why so?
Need to catch up on the day's news? Want to find out the name of that great song you heard on Excursions or that author from the Book Nook? You can find it all online at wyso.org. Our website is updated daily to bring you additional information about what you hear on the radio, and there's some exclusive online content, too. Podcasts, playlists, and the day's news. Find it online at wyso.org.